Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Day two of the Deshaun Watson hearing to determine potentially what his suspension or punishment will be. And joining us now as we head to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline is our guy, Mike Florio, a guy we always turn to when we need to get some understanding of things. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Once again, guys, seriously, head to Amazon.com and order the Florio book, Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. It's out now. Great book. Go ahead and check that out. Mike, the first thing I want to get to here is I'm wondering from you how much or how important are optics for the NFL in this Deshaun Watson situation? Because they have been pretty strong on things being out about them pushing for, you know, indefinite suspension, a year's suspension, seeming to be pretty strong on it. How important optics-wise do you think this decision is for the NFL?
Oh, I think it's critical because it was back in 2014 when the optics were that the NFL was too lenient on Ray Rice when initially he was suspended two games for knocking out his then-fiancée in an Atlantic City elevator. And then several weeks after that, the video emerged of what it was that Rice had actually done, what it looked like, and all hell broke loose. And the commissioner spent about a week and a half of his life wondering whether or not he's going to lose his job. So I think it was very important for the NFL to always have a strong PR component to situations like this and to never create the impression that they're going too lightly on a player who commits an act of violence or sexual misconduct or any other type of misbehavior against a female anywhere.
Mike, what are your thoughts on the quote unquote leak from yesterday that the NFL would accept a 6 to 8 game suspension if that is what Sue L. Robinson decided on?
Well, my first reaction was they were trying to rope-a-dope her into implementing a 6 to 8 game suspension so they could appeal it and do whatever they wanted to do. That's the power they have. They don't waive their appeal rights. They don't waive their rights. These are collectively bargained rights, and the NFL holds them over the head of the union, primarily around the union, that we have this power. And if you don't like it, there's one way to change it, and that is to go to the collective bargaining table and make a concession to us, and then we'll make a concession to you if you want this power to be changed. So I thought the revision to the entire procedure in 2020, it was hocus pocus to me. It was form over substance. Yeah, we have an independent voice, but the commissioner still has final say. And as long as she imposes any discipline, they can appeal her decision and the commissioner can do whatever he wants to do. Now, he can't make new findings, but he can still say, I want to impose a higher level of discipline based upon the discipline that was imposed by her. So that was my first reaction. Then somebody pushed back on the report from the unnamed source that the NFL would likely not appeal a 6 to 8 game suspension. The pushback was, no, that's not true. The NFL's holding out for at least a 1 year suspension. So I don't know what's going on with that. And it just suggests to me that there are people in the league office who aren't on the same page. And maybe somebody went rogue with the first nugget or went rogue with the second one, but there may be some discrepancy and disagreement as to the best way to handle all of this. And also, here's the other side of it too. Judge Robinson, I firmly believe, told everybody on Tuesday morning, the first day of the hearing, no leaks, no dribs and drabs, no nothing that would undermine this process in any way. And somebody who was a federal judge for 25 years knows how to speak to people in a way that gets them to listen. And there's a chance that they showed up today and she asked them pointedly about the report from the AP about no appeal if there's a 6-to-8-game suspension, and maybe the NFL felt compelled to try to push back. I don't know. But it's a weird little unexpected wrinkle at the time when we're not getting really anything from what happened on Tuesday or on Wednesday. To have that hanging out there is strange. But I think ultimately it points to a level of disconnect at 345 Park Avenue.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, joins us. And, Mike, that's you were going into the decision-making process there. And I've talked to people who are confused, who ultimately just want to know, flat out, whenever ultimately this decision is made, they've said there's so many different ways that they handle things now, and they're doing it different than it was. Who ultimately will make the decision? Who ultimately has the most power? And when we say Deshaun has been suspended 6 games or Deshaun was suspended for a year, ultimately the person or the entity that makes that decision is who?
Well, there are two people who have a significant amount of power. And as a threshold matter, Judge Robinson has the power to block any action by the league if she imposes no discipline on Deshaun Watson at all. That's the only way that Roger Goodell has no say in this. After Judge Robinson imposes a decision, if there's any discipline that is implemented, that's when the commissioner is the most powerful person, because he can take 2, 3, 4 games and make it into whatever he wants to make it into. Now, there's got to be some reasonable basis for it, and it may get a little bit tricky and it's awkward and there may be litigation on the back end. Who knows? But the way that this is written up, it used to be the commissioner was the judge, jury, and executioner and the appeals officer. Now he's not the jury, but he's still in charge of the appeal. And either side can appeal. If it's a 6-game suspension, Deshaun Watson can appeal it because I want it to be lower. And the league can appeal it to Goodell saying I want it to be higher. And I don't know what the NFL is trying to do here with this notion that there are multiple different entities falling under the shield. You've got the commissioner, you've got the league. The league is the commissioner. That's the one thing we have to remember. The league goes into this insisting on a suspension of at least 1 year. That directive ultimately comes from the commissioner. So at the end of the day, the commissioner appeals back to the commissioner. Oh, gee, I am the one who gets to decide whether or not what I want is what I get. Let me take it under advisement as to whether I will give myself that which I want. I mean, it's laughable when you think of it. Now, some of it may be done for the benefit of PR, where the NFL overshoots and then Judge Robinson comes in at a certain level, and then maybe Roger Goodell finds a middle ground between what the league originally wanted and what Judge Robinson did. There could be some PR machinations in that regard. But once Judge Robinson imposes any discipline on Deshaun Watson or any other player, if and when this procedure happens in the future, the commissioner is the one who has all the power.
But I want to get this straight from you, Mike. If, let's say, Sue L. Robinson comes in and says, hey, there are no criminal charges being placed on Deshaun Watson. This is he said, she said. I deem that there is no penalty here and there will be no suspension. Deshaun Watson would play week 1 immediately, and there is nothing that the league or the commissioner could do. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. Now, I think it's more likely that, if she imposes no discipline, it would be based upon the argument that the union plans to advance, that the discipline has to be proportional to owners who have run afoul of the personal conduct policy. And even if he did something that constituted a violation, they didn't sufficiently punish others, so he doesn't get punished at all. But either way, whatever her reasoning for not imposing discipline, that seals off any opportunity for Roger Goodell or anyone else with the league to change the outcome if she says no discipline whatsoever.
Mike, outside the sheer number of complaints or plaintiffs, however you want to couch these lawsuits, outside of that, you've covered the league forever. I mean, I played in the league for a short stint. I mean, I've been around it and covered it for a long time. My knowledge of what goes on a day-to-day basis and and kind of the mindset of a locker room, I think, is a little bit different than the general public. But what part of what Sue L. Robinson is reviewing right now, outside of the number 24, do you think is the most damning that could potentially cost Deshaun Watson a year's worth of eligibility? Eligibility is not right. He's well, a year's is, worth of football. You get it.
The key is the five cases that the NFL has identified where it believes there is corroboration, some contemporaneous text messages or social media activity or said something to someone that makes it something stronger than he said, she said. And look, even a he said, she said, that doesn't cancel out. It doesn't become irrelevant. If you have someone who says up, having someone else who says down doesn't make it flat in the middle. One person can be more believable than the other person. And that's part of the job of what the legal system calls the finder of fact, whether it's a jury in a jury trial or a judge in what they call a bench trial or a situation like this, where the judge is the person who is evaluating the evidence, determining who's telling the truth and who isn't telling the truth. And the reality is, at some point, Deshaun Watson is going to sit there and answer questions posed by the NFL, questions posed by the NFLPA, and maybe some questions posed by Judge Robinson. And after 25 years on the bench and years before that practicing law, she has been lied to by every shape, size, and type of human being out there. Every job, whether it's a high-end position or a low-end job, every type of witness you can imagine has made its way onto a witness stand or into a deposition setting and told a lie, and she has learned how to smoke out people who are lying and people who are telling the truth. So she can conclude that I just don't believe this guy when he answers these questions. I don't buy it. I think he did it. I think he's trying to cover it up. And, you know, that's the problem when people wander into the legal system for the first time and they have their first encounter. They don't realize how much the people who have years of experience understand the game. It's not the first rodeo for Judge Robinson. And it makes it all the more difficult for someone, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's one of the individuals. If they have gotten five of these individuals who are going to show up and testify, and again, they're keeping it all close to the vest. But Judge Robinson isn't going to be outsmarted by anyone in this process. So just keep that in mind, too. The corroborating evidence is useful, but also he said, she said. There can be one side that is very believable and the other side that isn't. And that could be enough for Judge Robinson to conclude that Deshaun Watson did it. And if she concludes he did it as the one, right, if you have a silver bullet as the one, aren't you more likely to conclude that the rest of them are telling the truth too? Why would all these people come together and lie about Deshaun Watson? And if you conclude he's not telling you the truth about one of them, then it's more likely that he's not telling the truth about any of them.
Yeah, Mike, I'm looking at this thing kind of how you started this interview, right? I think you brought up Ray Rice and how the NFL and Roger Goodell, hell, he almost lost his job over that Ray Rice. I mean, that is the. I'm not talking about Sue L. Robinson. Obviously, I don't know her history in terms of what kind of decisions she's made in the past. But a guy like Roger Goodell, who could watch that video and know what went on and give him two games and then turn around and when the video goes viral, all of a sudden he's banned from the league. That is a different mindset and a different way of seeing things and a different way of making a decision than what the court of public opinion is. That's where I was going. Like, what in the Deshaun Watson situation is something like in the public, just anybody out there listening right now looks at it and goes, man, that's terrible. I can't believe that happened. Roger Goodell looks at a lot of this and deals with a lot of this on a lot more consistent basis than the Joe Blow out here riding, going back to the office from lunch.
Right. But what happened in 2014 was that the Ray Rice case was the latest example of a situation where the NFL would defer to the outcome of the criminal justice system. So the outcome of the criminal justice system in Ray Rice's case was the deferred, what do they call that thing? The diversion program, the deferred prosecution. You enter into a separate procedure under the criminal justice system where if you stay out of trouble for X period of time, it's like it never even happened. So they at the league office mistakenly assumed that because the prosecutor allowed that to happen, that it must have been no big deal. That if they're okay with it, then we should be okay with it. That's where they made their mistake. Because the scrutiny that gets directed to a prosecutor is far different than the scrutiny that's going to get directed to a guy like Roger Goodell if the perception is that they didn't go far enough. And you remember, they claimed they didn't have the video at all up until TMZ got its hands on it. They claimed they had no power to get it, which I still think is ludicrous. All they had to say to Ray Rice was, your lawyer's got it in his files. You tell your lawyer, your files are my property. I want that video because the NFL wants to see it. So they learned the hard way through that example with Ray Rice that they can't worry about what the criminal justice system did. They need to make their own decision based upon how the public is going to react to the facts of the case and the NFL's handling of the facts of the case. So that makes this one difficult because it's not like there's some smoking gun piece of evidence out there that's going to make people say, oh my God, I can't believe he didn't do it. This is one of those where you've got reasonable minds differing on what it is that happened and is there enough proof. And you've got, and it's a shame that it's become one of those issues where you can both sides it, but that makes it tougher for the NFL to pick the right outcome because maybe there's a sweet spot somewhere, maybe there isn't. Maybe no matter what you do, you're going to get criticized by one side or the other. Maybe you're going to get criticized by both sides, by one who says you didn't go far enough and the other saying, how dare you do this to Deshaun Watson when there's no conclusive proof he did anything wrong, wasn't arrested, wasn't charged, leave this guy alone. It's a tough spot for the league to be in.
All right, Mike Florio here with us. We appreciate you jumping on with us. As we'll learn more as this hearing continues, we're hearing it potentially could extend until Thursday, and then possibly a couple of weeks after that, we'll hear what the decision is. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.